This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Good morning. Time to get to work.
What in the world is this?
We told folks that we're going to do the show from the basement.
Right.
And they're like, there's no way you can do the show from the basement.
Are these guys fun to work with? And I go, no. I said, but they do a good show.
100 shows. Oh, my God. The over-under was 75.
We say there's two things. You got to pass the sniff test. Oh.
Listener.
When you come to the basement.
You don't come to the basement and hang out
one
morning? I don't know.
That doesn't sound like an appetizing thing. When are you coming to the basement?
Come on, the basement. Come hang out.
Can I say it on?
What did you bring for us? Because that would be Chester's and Fuller's.
Yeah. And out of the corner of my eye, I see something attacking me, so I just jump up.
It's a replay of the Cotton Bowl. Robin the Duke fan rolled in here at 3 a.m.
Got to get an early start on the mosquitoes.
That's it. That's exactly right. This is our message for LeBron.
I thought that was just look like you and Wes. I didn't realize they're actually dogs. They are.
OH and four.
No, if you're a good interviewer, you should be able to just spit them out without fumbling around.
So this is a comparison day for me because people have said being on Packer and Durham is like a root canal.
Pretty similar.
And so then I'm going to have a root canal and see if it's true.
DJ Uyangalale. Uyangalale.
You're not calling Billy.
You've got hounds, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't have a hound. I have a dog.
A dog.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. How the heck are you there, Wes? Good to talk to you too, brother.
The guy just called the show, Charlie, and said that Billy had passed away. Is he doing all right? The second your big toe hits the water, you're the visiting team.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
Oh, okay, great.
What's up, Doc? How are you guys?
What are you smoking?
Well, what are you smoking?
Nothing.
A little bit more thread count, but I think it's going to look just as good on you as it does on me.
Enjoying, you know, friendship.
That's it.
We got a friendship for life.
That's it. Robin the Duke fan.
Even though you are a Carolina fan.
Packer and Durham, it is show number 100. Numbers 844-SAY-ACCN. Of course, you got us on ACC Network and always streaming live on the ESPN app. Not to mention our good buddies over there on SiriusXM Channel 371, your ACC channel.
Yeah. I'm here with my loan officer.
I'll tell you what, Wes. I'm not saying I'm getting used to it.
But
it's a nice suit.
Well, you know it's a nice suit.
Real. And every time we talk about the suit, we play the Bond music. Yeah.
Coming out in April.
Yeah, you betcha.
I love them.
Oh, I do too. No problem.
I'm a big Bond fan.
Yeah, I got you. Welcome back, hour two of the program here with Packer and Durham. 844-SAY-ACCN. We do have some... time we'll get some calls in. We'll update you on the night in basketball in the ACC as well. Doubleheader on the women's card tonight here on the network starts with NC State hosting Florida State as well. But more show moments. More show moments. And we told you going to break, we've kind of gone off the rails with one caller in the first 100 shows, and here it is.
We have been looking for Dave O'Brien. And as we fast approach the ninth week of the season, word has it that on the line here is the one and only Dave O'Brien. Sir, please state your name and what you do for a living.
Gentlemen, this is Dave O'Brien with the ACC Network and feeling like, boy, I finally made it. I've at last finally made it with you guys and really looking forward to chatting with you.
Quite frankly, Dave, we were told to have to go through your handlers,
yeah.
Which I'm going to be honest with you, personally bothers me. It bothers me a lot that yeah. someone that's yeah. supposedly on the same team gives us the line through others, go through my handlers.
Dave, and do you have handlers?
I have handlers everywhere, left and right, or at least people, let's put it this way. And I know you guys are in the same boat I am. People who believe they should handle you. You know what I mean? So I went through a little bit of, I had a little bronchitis. I was fighting a little bit of that for a couple of weeks. And one of those so-called handlers said, oh, no, you shouldn't be getting up early in the morning and doing Packer and Durham. You shouldn't
hang
be,
up on this guy.
You
know,
that's it.
Hang up on this guy. Whoever's back in Bristol, just hang up on this guy. Yeah. We need to have a production meeting. Hang up on him. Excuse me? I thought that was just a joke. I thought it was just a joke he had hand, and he's going through handlers, bronchitis, locusts ate my homework. Yeah, I mean, like, well, I know you guys have handlers.
Chester and Fuller are your handlers.
Chester and Fuller, whatever, and whatever Mrs. P needs, that's what I do. I know my role. Mrs. P says, jump, I say, how high? Handlers, what are you talking about? So that was the end of that. But
don't mess up the suit.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you gotta get it back. But, you know, we did bring Dave O'Brien back.
Yeah.
You know, just for the record.
Yeah.
Right.
That segment, he came back. Yeah.
Eventually. But we had to have a meeting to say, hey, wait a minute. Or is this really what we want to do?
Yeah. But you hung up on Dave O'Brien.
That's all right. He deserved it. He earned it. But he turned out to be an outstanding guest.
Yes, he did.
He was excellent the second time.
Yeah, Dave does a phenomenal job and is, I think, got basketball this weekend, in fact.
Now, keep in mind that everybody on that broadcast team is a regular on this show.
The coveted invite.
Coveted invite. We love her.
Katie George.
Love Katie.
Tim Hasselbeck.
Outstanding. Always Dave. Insightful.
Dave O'Brien.
And then O'Brien became difficult. Yeah. Oh, I got to go through my hand. Whoa. What are you talking about?
There you go.
But
he had bronchitis too. Couldn't do it when he had bronchitis.
Bronchitis.
Of course, you did a week of shows.
I've been doing I've been doing 2 months of shows of bronchitis. Can't return a phone call. But O'Brien made up for it though. For the record, he made up for it.
One of the other little pieces that's developed in this program in its first 99 episodes is a carryover from the old ACC Central radio show that started the many year ago.
About 4 or 5 years ago we started that, didn't we?
No. About two. It'll be two in March.
Seems like it.
Just seems longer, right? Anyway, it came around that Packer does resemble, and Mark was an accomplished golfer.
No.
On the junior and collegiate level at Clemson.
I wasn't accomplished. I just knew where it was going sometimes. We had guys who could really.
Member of the team.
I was a member. We member had guys who could really play.
So anyway.
Clemson. I wasn't one of those
guys. It also came to our attention not long after we moved over here to television that Mark bore a striking resemblance to a Masters champion.
Yes, sir. We got on the story because you want us to do ACC golf on network.
That is correct.
Right.
In the spring.
Right. So we got on a golf tangent.
Well, I saw, you know, like, to be honest with you, I saw our sister network.
Who's that?
The SEC.
Oh, the SEC. I'm sorry. I didn't know we had one.
No, it's a sister network.
Little brother.
So they were doing the golf championship last year. Right.
I guess.
Down it was Peter Burns and Taylor Zarzer.
It'd be perfect. Those guys are golf guys.
Right. Just like us. We're golf guys.
Well, I would say between Pete Burns and Taylor and me and you, three of those four love to play 24/7, 365 if they could.
Right.
One of those four has not hit a bad shot in 22 years.
That would be you.
That'd be me.
Right. But I figure if those guys are involved in the SEC, certainly that's precedent for us to get involved.
Why not? You're in charge of negotiations.
All right, I got it. So that led to the fact that Packer is sometimes mistaken for Masters champion Angel Cabrera.
My evil twin.
Your evil twin.
There we go. Let me get in the position here. If Angel's wearing a hat and I'm wearing a hat, I'm telling you, you would think there are twins. Who are those two fat dudes and why are they on the golf course?
And you can either laugh for two reasons. One.
Bogey.
That's one. Two, you can laugh because the only thing they're similar is they got big faces.
Yeah. Bogey. When Angel shot.
Come on. Oh, go it again. Come on. Do it again. Do it again.
When Angel opened up as former Masters champion. At Augusta.
81 this year.
In 81, Wes and I did a bit on radio where I did my best on hell because I keep saying he's my evil twin.
He is your evil twin.
And so we went through his scorecard shooting in 81, and it sounded like this. Bogey. Bogey. Pa. Bogey. Double bogey. So we went through every round of the Masters with Angel Cabrera. Oh. That was part of the gig. So
and we only had to do two because he missed the cut.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I tell you what.
Angel Cabrera gets me every time.
I've told you this.
If you put a ping hat on.
If I put a ping hat on, if when the PGA Tour comes back to Charlotte, mm-hmm. if he happens to play in it, play an event.
Oh, we're going out there.
I'm telling you, if I put a ping hat on and walk up to the range,
yeah,
we've got to make that happen.
Can we dial up the lumberjack camera here for a minute?
Sure, we can do anything we want. And, it's our last show.
And what a unique pleasure we have at this juncture to welcome back.
Oh, a guy looks just like Macri.
Josh Macri, who's returned to the show after a MIA report yesterday at the Detroit Wayne County International Air. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Chicago O'Hare.
Chicago O'Hare. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Chicago O'Hare. Not to be confused with Detroit.
How was the flight?
Yesterday's was fine. It was Tuesday's that was a little adventurous, as has been the case with me since joining this network. For whatever reason. Starting back in September.
Drew, I have held off on this all day yesterday. I did not tell you this yesterday. Pack okay. and I were subjected Tuesday in the New Orleans International Airport and waiting room to people coming up and speaking to us and telling us how much they enjoyed the show. People were very kind.
Most enjoyed the show.
Most.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I told my mom to leave you guys alone, but she wouldn't.
All right. However...
There were actually a couple that were rooting for our plane to be delayed, like, extensively, so we wouldn't get back to do the show.
Right. But my favorite part of the whole deal was that every once in a while somebody turned and go, "You're one of the lumberjacks, aren't you?"
That's it. Macri looks just like that nutcracker from our Christmas show. Looks just like him.
To be fair, there was one guy who said that, but I appreciate your embellishment.
Oh, no, there
wasn't. A couple other people said, "Wait, are you that... Are you the back row dude?" Well, close enough.
Not to confuse the back row with the front row.
Let me tell you this. When I got off the plane in Charlotte the other night, waiting on my bag, because I checked my bag.
Let me guess, 45 minutes?
No, actually about 3 or 4. It was nice.
I don't believe that. That's a flat-out lie. That's the first lie told on
this
show.
Some guy came up and said, "Well, I was going to talk to you there, but was that one of the lumberjacks you were talking to there in New Orleans?" Yes, it was, sir. Yeah, that's Josh.
No way a bag got there in 4 minutes in this airport.
So anyway, that was awesome, by the way. That was awesome.
What else we got? We're done? We maxed out? It just took an hour and 10 minutes for us to do the best of? Is that all we got?
No. We got plenty more to go.
We got more?
Oh, we got Barker Bite next.
Oh.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, Packer and Durham, Matt Schick here. Just wanted to wish you a sincere congrats on your 100th episode. When I think back to some of the great episodes that you guys have had, ones that stick out, September 6th, October 2nd, October 18th, November 22nd, those are the ones I filled in on, and those were outstanding. Wes, I don't think we've ever met before, because you're usually not there when I host. And that brings me to the other issue that this is an uncomfortable thing to have to bring up on such a special occasion. I know, Pac, when I hosted with you, you felt guilty because I told you that I was allergic to your dogs. I went to the doctor, and this is unbelievable, but what they informed me was I'm actually allergic to you. So I don't think I'm going to be a part of any more of your shows, but that's okay. You guys have already peaked. And again, I've already mentioned the 4 best shows you've ever had. And now that I'm not going to be a part of them anymore, it's all downhill from here. But congrats on a great 100, or at least 4.
Schick's awesome.
Yeah. Well done, Matt.
And
you're
accurate.
Right, too.
And accurate. Yes, and accurate. On top of it.
Yeah. It is all downhill from here.
Classic.
Those are the dogs, by the way. What's the story on the dog?
Stuffed dogs representing Chester, the big one. Ironically, yeah. Chester's in real life, smaller than Fuller, of
sure.
course. And, but just in case we go on the road and we're asked for the 400th time, hey, man, y'all bring the dogs? No, we didn't bring the dogs. Now we can bring the dogs for future shows, yeah. assuming we have any.
Okay, you ready for Barker Bike?
Let's do it. I'm ready.
All right, we flip on the lumberjack camera in Bristol. Back to the boys. Josh Macri on the left, fresh, revived from his night in Chicago at the airport hotel. Drew Brooks on the right, pride of Emerson. And, of course, the desert. Seers and knowers of all things. Are we ready? What are we doing
here? The question is, are you guys ready?
I'm waiting on you guys.
Have you seen the, have you seen your loan officer this morning to talk to him about your 30-year fix?
Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, guys. First one, we know it's going to be a long way back to 29, but bark or bite that Clemson football's next winning streak will reach double digits.
I'm going to agree with that. I'm going with it.
So that means you're biting. After 100 shows, I need to remind you of the rules.
No, I got it. I just told you. I'm going with it. I think Clemson will reach double digits again.
Yeah, they'll get to double digits because that's 10. I think it's going to be.
Can we confirm that?
No,
with
not with my math.
Math.
No,
latest edition math. Of math with Wes Durham.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll bite on 10. I'll bite on double figures. I think they're going to be really, really good, but I think they're in. Without looking at their schedule, I'll say 10, yes.
Well, not only are they going to be good, they're going to be motivated. And
that helps. Yep.
I know there's a road trip to Notre Dame in November, which will be must watch. It could be a road trip for us, assuming we're still around.
Mm-hmm.
But I just have faith that that loss Monday night will burn deep. And I've seen this before. Talented, well-coached,
yeah.
tons of talent, and ticked off. Yeah, they'll be ready to roll.
Okay.
So Staying with Clemson. We know T. Higgins going to the NFL, but bark or bite that at least one of the following, Travis Etienne, Isaiah Simmons, or A.J. Terrell will return to Clemson next year.
I'm going to bark. I think they're all going to go. I mean, listen, as a college football fan, I'd love to see a couple of them come back, but I get it, man. If you got a chance to go and you're getting information that you're going to be a top 2-3 round pick guy, you got to go. Gotta go.
I'm gonna bite because I think one will come back.
Mm.
And I think it's it'll be interesting. I think it's gonna be AJ Terrell if it's any of them. Travis Etienne, I'm conflicted here. I mean, he could one more year. Yes, the running back position in the National Football League is under pretty good scrutiny right now in terms of its impact and where it fits. He has a unique skill set. Because he did catch more balls this year. But I'm going to say Terrell is the guy. If one comes back, it'll be Terrell, so I'll take the
bite. I hope you're right.
Yeah.
All right. Bark or bite. There will be a newcomer in next year's college football playoff.
Bite.
Yeah.
Bite, bite, bite.
I'll take the bite of the four. I think we may see two new ones.
I think you're definitely going to see one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
There's no way the four that made it this year are going to be the same four next year. No way. Not happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say definitely one for sure. Someone's you mean that
never been there before. Similar to LSU this year.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying there may be – I think there may be two, let alone one. I'm going to bite on that because I think there'll be at least one, maybe two.
Really?
I think the Sun Devils have got a chance.
No. That would be no, Wes.
I'm with you.
Who do you think the two are that have never appeared in the college football playoff? Penn State? You think they're better than Ohio State? I don't.
I think that the one you're talking about, I think
Oregon,
the two to come back would be Ohio State and Clemson.
Somebody from the Pac-12? Of course, they've already been in it. You can't pick them either.
What are you talking about, Oregon? Yeah, I think it'll be somebody different from the Pac-12. It could be somebody different from the Big 12. I mean, let's go Texas, another August national champion getting there. Why not?
Texas is going to beat Oklahoma.
Sure, let's go that route. I just think there'll be at least one team, and I wouldn't be surprised if there were two.
I just don't know who they could be.
There might be a different team in the SEC.
Florida?
Sure. I mean, the door in those leagues is – the Big 12, the Pac 12, and the SEC, to me. Now, I know Alabama's getting all these guys back, right? At least that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, but Bama's already been in it.
Right. But I'm talking about Florida has a chance to get in it. Maybe Texas has a chance to get in it.
Who else?
Out in the Pac 12, who knows? Is Clay Helton and UCLA or USC feel it? I don't know. I'm just saying, Utah, right on the door this year, do they have a chance?
I don't feel that at all.
Okay.
Now, you know what? Now that I know what the question is, I thought you meant the four that were in it this year. I think one, maybe. There's no way there's two.
I don't think.
I just don't know who they could be. Michigan, Penn State, and the Big Ten.
Those would be new.
Florida and the SEC. Texas and the Big 12.
Florida's going to be pretty good.
Is there anybody in the ACC? North Carolina? You buying that?
I was asked a question yesterday, and I was going to save this for another show, but since we're on the topic, since Carolina and Clemson don't play, and without looking at schedules, see, we don't have the schedules and the rotations yet, and we don't know injuries and all that, but do you think Carolina is the biggest challenger to Clemson, and they don't even play in the regular season?
They might be. I don't know. I mean, I don't know who's going to win the Coastal. I mean, now that we've gotten it full circle with Virginia making it 7-7, do we go back to the top of the line again? I mean, how's that work?
Who knows? Who knows? That's a good question, by the way.
I like that question.
Yeah, it's a real good one. Can we revisit that at some point?
Yeah, we'll bring that one back.
Sure, absolutely.
I just don't know how many legitimate outside forces there are in college football today that haven't already made an appearance. I mean, Washington's made an appearance, and they're not eligible. Oregon's made an appearance, and they're not eligible. I just think there's only about two or three teams that could do it. But we'll see. We'll get into that later on. That's a good question.
All right, let's bring it back. Bark or bite, there will be a newcomer in the college football playoff next season. And by this, I mean a brand new team, someone who's never been there before.
I bite on that, yes. I think there'll be one, at least one, maybe two. How's that?
I think one. There's no way there's two.
Nice try.
All right.
Wes, any guesses on who it might be? Mississippi State, Texas, Stanford, Kent State, Iowa.
Arizona State.
Nebraska, Omaha.
Oh, Trev Alberts is the AD at University of Nebraska, Omaha.
All right.
No, we'll let this go. Thank you. Nice job.
The real next one. We go from football to basketball. Bark or bite, road teams will finish with a better record in league play than home teams this season.
Bark. I think the home team is starting to rebound a little bit in conference play. But I do believe this. I think there'll be a higher percentage of games five or less or overtime this year than there were last year. Last year, 26% of the games were five or less or overtime. I think that percentage this year will be toward 30, maybe even a little higher than that because of the glob that Pac talks about.
I think the answer is bark because eventually home teams start to win.
Right.
I mean, this cannot continue where – home guy can't hold serve. I think eventually that will turn and we'll kind of get back to normalcy.
Well, and to give you an example, it was about a 6-game difference when the weekend started, and now it's down to 3 because home teams have picked up speed this week, including last night, a split of 2-2. The only road team to win last night was
Notre Dame.
So it was a 3-1 night for the home teams. By the way, we had two more 5 or less or overtime games last night too. So now we're up to almost double figures on that. We're well into double figures on that, and we're still in mid-January. So,
all right, finally, bark or bite, Roy Williams will finish the season below 500 for the first time in his coaching career.
No, I'm going to bark. I just think that, you know, the Cole Anthony watch is on. Hopefully we see him again in the North Carolina jersey. And when they get him back, assuming they get him back, they'll win some more games. It has been a tough start to 2020. North Carolina has yet to win a game this calendar year.
Right.
But that will certainly change at some point in time. But they've got to get healthy. I think they eventually will. I don't believe North Carolina will be sub 500. I do not.
Tar Heels have had the week off. They're in Pittsburgh on Saturday on ESPN. I bark on this. I think they'll finish above 500. Yes. Will they finish above 500 in the ACC? I'm not sure about that.
That's a different story.
Yeah.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Centennial Show continues. coming up here in moments, the commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference will be with us.
My flying partner. He was on the same flight. He had good seats. I didn't. He got his bags before I got mine. I can tell you that much.
Is that
why I know that?
Why?
Because I saw him take him right off the rack. Commissioner, we'll see you.
Good to see you.
Be here. If you come back in about a day and a half, I'll be waiting for mine to come rolling around here. The commissioner will be joining us. We always appreciate his
time. Look forward to having the commissioner with us. If you've found out anything in working with or watching and listening to Mark
or
Packer,
working,
you're quickly brought up to speed on one thing. The most important day of the year has nothing to do with something that happens in football or basketball or the ACC.
That's correct.
Here's the most important day of the year.
And this hat right here was purchased in 1989. Why is that important, Wes?
Well, it's brown.
Well, it was black, the black and orange. It's now turned brown. It's faded, much like Clayton Kershaw's career in October.
Jeez.
Hey, Dodgers. 2010, World Series champions. 2012, World Series champions. 2014, World Series champions. America, it's a great day. And you know what's really disappointing?
What's that?
Is that the poor Dodgers, who haven't won squat since 1988.
When Kirk Gibson hit the home run off the Eck.
Total fluke. But they won it in 88. They haven't won anything since. And I've taken a great deal of joy, even this week, knowing that the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox cheated in the World Series. Why? Is that important, Wes? Because they beat the Dodgers both times. America rejoices when the L.A. Dodgers are eliminated from postseason play. Is it personal? You bet it's personal. It's tremendous. The streak continues, Wes. 31 years and counting. Every year we celebrate someday in October when a team goes out and tries to buy a championship and somehow falls short. It's great for America. Feels good just seeing that again. I love it. Absolutely. There's only one team in sports, because you get to ask this a lot. Hey, man, you got the favorite team? You got somebody you root for? Hey, you know, you root for great stories when you do this job.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you point blank, there's only one team in America that I openly root against. I will say it on the air, whether it be radio or television. I openly root against the LA Dodgers. I hate everything they stand for. Everything. That's all I'm going to say.
You feel better about baseball this week knowing that your team.
Fantastic.
That your team. The team lost, you hate the most.
Got hosed.
Lost two World Series to
back
teams.
Back to back. They got hosed.
Allegedly.
No, allegedly.
Cheating.
What do you mean allegedly? No, no allegedly.
Well.
We've seen people fired because of this week.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
It's like, you know, I allegedly carry around fake counterfeit money and give it to players in the middle of the field. Please. There's no counterfeit. That's cold, hard cash, homie. What is that idiot doing?
I don't know.
Seriously.
That's on another
what
channel.
What is that moron
That's on
doing?
Another channel.
We're going to work with the NCAA to try to figure that out. Yeah, here's an idea. You can't pay those guys, Holmes. What are you doing?
Oh, me.
I feel better already.
All right.
The only thing missing is like a Clayton Kershaw something. We can do a Kershaw. All right, I digress.
A changeup that doesn't change and gets hit over the left field wall?
Hard.
Yeah, just checking.
What else we got?
It's your favorite day of the year, though, isn't it?
Every year. I celebrate it. I celebrate it, and I know.
And we normally have a tote board of days it's been. But
I'm going to tell you how much I hate these guys.
Okay.
I was in the L.A. airport a couple years ago, and there's a Dodgers dugout store in the airport. And I went in there, and there's some guy. Okay, there's every Dodger jersey known to man. I come walking in there, minding my own business. And they had a thing of calendars, those yearly calendars you could buy. And I asked the guy that owns the place, I said, dude, I need to ask you a question. And I pulled up the calendar. And I said, does this have every month in it? The guy goes, of course it does. I said, are you sure it has every month in it? The guy goes, sir, it's a 12-month calendar. I said, you guys are not selling this without the month of October, are you? Because every time October comes, you folks out here in Dodgerland just kind of roll over and play dead. I just want to make sure if I buy one of these things, I'm not going to get to October, and all of a sudden the months disappeared. Guy wanted to throw me out of the building. That's how much I hate those guys. All right, Wes, what else we got? I'm not going to sit in this suit all day, you know.
How about another moment, a more recent moment, just a couple weeks ago. Packard decided that it was time to be in the gift-giving mood right around the holidays.
Yep.
So after Ohio State got a gift from LeBron.
Now, explain the way. LeBron gave him those cool beats, right?
Yes.
And with a message to destroy Clemson.
Right.
Okay, how'd that work out?
Well, Packard decided to give LeBron a gift.
That's what we do. This is a Packer and Durham to LeBron James. And we also decided to do one other thing like LeBron did. Again, here's the headphones, but here is the note in the message. This is our message for LeBron. Noise canceling headphones from Bose. OH and 4. Packer and Durham to LeBron James.
Nicely done.
We reciprocate. That's what we do. We're good guys. Let everybody have a good time with it.
Did a great job. By the way, the commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference is going to join us in just a moment. We do have a little bit of news here.
We've been waiting on this.
Well, yeah, and this is a different one. I didn't know how we would be told one way or the other about Justin Fuente, but here in the last 15, 20 minutes, I guess. Justin Fuente has tweeted, and here we go. Off his Twitter feed, it's a picture of a staff meeting in Blacksburg. 2020, let's go. I think he's staying.
That's how I would read that, yes, Wes.
I don't think he's going to Baylor. So there you go. And reportedly, there was interest, and he was – regarded by Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports as the leading candidate for the job. But apparently Justin Fuente will coach at Virginia Tech in 2020, and good for Virginia Tech and good for the ACC.
It's good for the league.
Yep.
There's no question about it. And I think you mentioned just the stability. You just didn't want to be in a position where you're looking for a coach in the middle of January. I mean, there's never a good time when it comes to making a change like that, but that would be very difficult right now. So assuming that is all legit up front,
I don't know.
Stay. I'm going to read it that way.
That's the way I'm going to go with it, because I don't ever recall seeing that. Do you? Like
no.
A coach saying,
no.
2020, let's go?
No.
In a staff meeting? So I'm going to go that means he's staying.
Yeah, I would read it that way as well.
Okay. Remember now, there's a lot of new coaches on that side, on the defensive side of the ball. We mentioned yesterday in our visit with Joe Giglio that not only did Bud Foster retire, Charlie Wiles, a longtime defensive line coach, is gone. Secondary coach, a couple of others. So, and look, let's be honest. He's got a good situation now at quarterback. They settled on Hendon Hooker, who, you know, finished strong for him.
A lot of returning starters.
Yeah.
From a team that kind of found it midway through, the season last year, where it looked like it was going south on them.
Now, Dalton Keene.
Despite the loss in the bowl game,
right,
which was disappointing given the fact it was Bud Foster's last, hurrah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pieces in place. For the Hokies to make some noise in the Coastal next year, no question.
DeShawn McLeese and Dalton King have Dalton Keene, rather, the tight end, McLeese the running back, have both declared that they're going to leave. Now, Keyshawn King, who was the backup to McLeese this year at times, who had some flashes, is a guy I know they were excited about middle of the year. So, you know, we'll see. Spring football at Virginia Tech will be very interesting.
Spring football, period, in this league is going to be intriguing, given everything, really, to be honest with you, especially in the Sunshine State. And, but again, we've got plenty of time to worry about all that stuff.
All right. So here on the Centennial Show, it seems like every time we do a remote show or something like that, we kind of have to get an update. Make sure we're okay, right?
Well, I mean, we like to think that we're heading in the right direction.
Yeah.
At times.
So we're going to check our temperature with Commissioner Swofford when we come back.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
We're a week in, Commish. What's our progress report? Are we okay so far?
You get another week's extension on your contract. the 1 week contract's extended to 2 weeks. ESPN tells me.
That's what they told me.
Well, so you're good. Yeah. I've got a little something for you.
Okay.
I'm going to two of you to have a commemorative coin that will be tossed tonight to open the game.
Wow.
And wanted you two to have one of those.
Man, that is something.
You know where this is going?
This is going into the basement,
right here.
Yeah.
You can count on that right there.
Basement is a famous place already.
Packer and Durham, it is show number 100. Number is 844-SAY-ACCN. We may get around to phone calls today. We got a little bit of everything on the program as we kind of look back at the first 99 shows, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and all that stuff. But we felt better after our remote in Death Valley when the commissioner of the ACC gave us a reprieve and extended our contract.
Yeah, we got a coin. We still have. Yeah, it's back there on the shelf.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good. Let's go to Greensboro, the commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference, who we just spent some meaningful time with in the New Orleans airport with 1,000 or so of our closest friends, Pack. John Swofford joins us. Nothing like New Orleans, right, on a Tuesday morning,
Commission? Nice to be back in Greensboro. Yeah, that was an interesting morning, interesting trip back. We actually had a staff member or two that it took 2 days to get back.
Oh.
So I, 3 hours late, that was a win, I think.
You could look at it that way.
Great to be with you.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, Commish. We're doing this dog and pony thing. And by the way, the basement is a famous place, and Chester and Fuller are still running the show, and they're putting up with us. But how would you categorize the ACC's 2019 football season?
Well, I think anytime you have a team in the national championship game, that's a win, obviously, to have a team capable of doing that. For the seventh straight year, we had a team in the playoffs. I think in a sense, when you look at the league as a whole, it was a bit of a transitional year for us. Maybe not quite up to what the previous five seasons have been, but I think better than some people, gave us credit for. During the course of the season, and I feel extremely good going forward from a league standpoint, football-wise, and every other sport from that standpoint. But I'm excited about continuing the leap forward with our football programs as a league, and I think we've got the people in leadership positions to continue that.
You know, it's interesting. We stood there on the floor of the Superdome the other night, and I was reminded that the last time LSU had played for a national championship in that building against Alabama, the next morning proved to be a kind of a monumental day in college football, because you were part of that group that was in the hotel the next morning having those commissioners' meetings and ultimately formulating the early stages of what we now know as the college football playoff. And then we were down there on the field the other night, and this has become a really, really, really big sporting event in our country. I mean, it's phenomenal, Commissioner, what the college football playoff has become, I think.
I agree with you, Wes. I think it's extraordinarily successful, and that's good to see. It took a long time to get there, literally multiple years of discussion to get the entire group to a point where we could agree on enough aspects of it that all of the conferences would agree to be involved. Mm. So it's nice, when you put that much time and energy and effort into something as our commissioners group did in the several last years of the BCS and trying to get to a playoff, to see it be as successful as it has been. And as I said earlier, I really like it in the sense that we've been a part of it. Our champion has been in it every single year, which I think is a tremendous credit to this league and our coaches in the league and Florida State and then Clemson on top of that. And Clemson's run has just been remarkable. So we'll see. There's a lot of talk about what the future may bring, and at this point. It's talk. But I think any time you have something that has turned into what this has turned into, as good as it is, you always want to be looking to see if it can be even better. And that's what we're working on.
Let's transition to basketball a second. It's been an interesting run so far for both the men and the women. How would you categorize? You've seen a gazillion of these crazy ACC basketball seasons. I know it's only the middle of January, but how would you define what you've seen so far in hoops on both the men's and the women's side?
Unpredictable. And, you know, I think it's a our league probably is a lot like college basketball is, particularly on the men's side. From a national perspective, I don't think there are any dominant teams out there this year. I think there are a lot of teams that can be a factor in the postseason, both in the Atlantic Coast Conference as well as nationally. So, you know, I think the best word on it at this point is unpredictable.
It's interesting because we were talking about home team success in conference games, and, you know, they were 7-8 games back in terms of winning percentage, you know, going into last weekend, and it looked like road teams had the upper hand. But, you know, we had four ball games last night, Commissioner. They were all entertaining. They were all very close for the most part. There were two that got away. But on the whole, it looks like – and Mark uses – what's the word, glob? It's the glob.
It's a glob.
He calls it a glob below the first three, which is interesting. But you've got a lot of teams that are a lot alike. There's a lot of continuity in terms of teams that are maybe in a little bit of a transitional year. I mean, you talk about football. I think basketball in some respects is the same way. This league has an unprecedented new face to it because of the lack of returning star power from the last year or so.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had a year where what is it 13 of the 15
that's it.
Players on the All ACC team were left or graduated or moved on to to the NBA or whatever. I don't think we've ever had a year like that. So that word transitional for basketball probably applies just as I felt like it did for football in a way. So. But the great thing about that is it is unpredictable. You don't know who's going to win. The home away balance seems a little out of whack. Should make for a great last half of the season where almost all games are conference games, and then a terrific ACC tournament back here in Greensboro when that comes around. So we'll see. ACC basketball is from a relative standpoint, great as it is every year, and the unpredictability of it this year, I think makes it really intriguing.
You know, last night we saw for the 12th time an unranked team knock off a team in the AP top five, which doubles the number from a year ago. And we still have weeks upon weeks of games still left, so March Madness will be unpredictable and wide open. One other thing, too, Commissioner Swofford, you know, we obviously will concentrate on football and basketball, but the cool thing about, I think, for what our show and this network has done so far is educate viewers and watchers and listeners that there are other sports. We've talked about the student-athletes, how much fun we've had with interviews and so forth, and you get a chance to know household names, whether we're talking about field hockey or men's and women's soccer or wrestling. The list goes on and on. And it really is such a diverse league in terms of not only success with football and basketball, with national championships, which have been well documented, but the Olympic sports have been fantastic. And I only think it's going to get better as we get into springtime and get baseball and other stuff that's going on. I know it's one thing that you and the staff have taken a great deal of pride in.
Well, we have for many years. That's part of what the ACC has been all about. And I want to thank you guys and with what you do and telling those stories about our student athletes, about our coaches in the Olympic sports. Just in the fall sports alone, we had four teams in national championship games. And North Carolina's field hockey team won theirs. But we had teams obviously in football. With Clemson, and then we had teams in both the men's and women's soccer. So I think that speaks a great deal about the national competitiveness of our teams in the Olympic sports. And the great thing, I've heard so many people talking about the network, talk about that they're watching sports and getting to know athletes and coaches that they hadn't watched before, didn't know about, they're hooked on it, is what they tell me, you know, which is a great thing to hear. And you guys on this show do a tremendous job of giving that kind of exposure to those athletes and those coaches and those sports. And, you know, the thing you can't even measure because it's immeasurable, but it's extraordinarily positive, is the storytelling aspect of having an ACC network that's on air 24/7, and people can, you know, anytime they want to know anything about the Atlantic Coast Conference, turn the ACC network on. And it's great to see. It's great for our league, and most importantly, it's great for our athletes and our coaches.
It's probably also terribly unsettling this morning when they see Mark in a suit, Commissioner. I got to be honest.
Well, he's a handsome dude, isn't he? That's
checks in the mail.
We are. I mean, what can I say?
Well, hey, we appreciate the time as always. You've been incredibly supportive of us, and we're grateful for it. And hope we can keep telling those stories as we move into our next 100 shows.
Well, I appreciate you guys. You have a great chemistry between you, and it shows on the air. It's why the show is so popular. And you know this league and its history inside out, and you portray that extraordinarily well. So thank you for what you do, what you mean to the network, and what you mean to the ACC.
All right. Thanks, Commissioner. Appreciate it very much. Have a great day.
Good to be with you.
All right. That's John Swofford, the Commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference, joining us here live from Greensboro on our 100th show.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.